Stubman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to everybody. I know a lot of people are taking today off. I know the roads are a little snowy. So if you're in your car, thank you. Drive safely. If you're watching on the stream, if you're listening on your phone, if you're one of the thousands and thousands of Americans that had their flights canceled this weekend and now you're driving somewhere, you're stuck in an airport, thank you for listening to today's Titans Monday program. So oftentimes I see a lot of crazy things that come across, whether it's the text line or the callers or everything else. And every time I kind of roll my eyes a little bit, but I understand that everybody just wants what's best for the Titans. And I am no different. But one common theme that I am starting to see a lot of is people that are saying, after the Texans game specifically, Jared, we need to blow the roster up. It's time to start over. It's time to hit the reset button. It's time to move on. It's time to change everything. And every time I hear that, I think, whoa, 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 whoa. Everybody, let's all take a deep breath and calm down. Now, I know the Titans lost to the Texans, and I know the Texans are garbage. I know the Titans have lost five in a row. I know it looks like the team that had a 95% chance to win their division a month ago is going to miss the playoffs. I know that they don't have a lot of promising young players. I know they just fired their general manager. I know they traded A.J. Brown. I know all those things. But I also think that the reason why the Titans are where they are right now is because at some point along the way, the Titans decided that they were smarter than common sense. This is what happens when an organization is defined by arrogance. And I think it's fair to say that's kind of what the Titans became. Every team is going to make mistakes. Every team is going to miss on draft picks. Every coach is going to make a bad decision in the starting lineup. Every coordinator is going to make a bad call every now and then. It happens. I love Floyd. I think he's the best general manager in the history of the franchise. And guess what? He drafted Andre Wolfolk in the first round. It happens. But what doesn't need to happen is you don't need to start thinking that you can reinvent the wheel. And that's what happened around here. And it wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just John Robinson who drafted Jeffrey Simmons coming off of a torn ACL and decided that every injured player going forward was a value that he couldn't afford to miss on. And that's why he took Caleb Farley. It wasn't John Robinson who was the only general manager in the NFL that would take on the money and trade the picks for Julio Jones. But it's also Mike Vrabel, who after last season in which Ryan Tannehill, who for 2 years under Arthur Smith had played at a Pro Bowl level, completely regressed under Todd Downing, and Mike Vrabel wouldn't fire him. It's the owner who fired the general manager in the middle of the season, basically saying, I don't like the way things are going. Doesn't get up and explain her decision in a press conference. Doesn't talk to the team about why she decided to do what she did. And so the players are left on an island thinking, my goodness, our owner thinks that we suck, and making what was a bad situation a lot worse. It's common sense. Common sense says don't draft Caleb Farley in the first round coming off of back surgery. Common sense says don't go for it on 4th and 8 with Malik Willis at quarterback. Common sense says get a kicker that can kick the ball over 45 yards. All the things the Titans haven't done. And I understand, I'm not going to cry about spilt milk because those are things that have already happened. But no more of that going forward. And when I hear people say, we got to blow it up, I'm like, then what is the future of your team? If you blow it up, if you decide that the back half of this year is so bad that all the players that have made the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years have won back-to-back divisions and had themselves with a 95% chance of winning this one before everybody got hurt. If you've decided that all those players are not good enough anymore, then what are you going to become? Because Jeffrey Simmons is not sticking around for a rebuild. Kevin Byard is not going to be part of a rebuild. I know you guys are mad at the line. You know, the line was atrocious when Ken Whisenhunt was the coach. The next year, in one offseason, John Robinson signed Ben Jones, and he drafted Jack Conklin, and all of a sudden, the line, with a good offensive line coach, the line was one of the best in the league. It's not that far away. Minnesota, they were 7-9 each of the last 2 years. They moved off of their coach, Mike Zimmer. They moved off their general manager with Kirk Cousins, a guy that many of us, including me, had written off. They were fine. Minnesota didn't hit the reset button. They didn't trade Adam Thielen. They didn't get rid of Kirk Cousins. They didn't get rid of Dalvin Cook. They didn't move off Justin Jefferson. Minnesota didn't hit the reset button. Philadelphia fired their coach in order to keep Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz didn't want to stay. They had to get rid of him. They had Jalen Hurts. They had all these draft picks. They could have tanked. They could have had the number one pick. They could have drafted these quarterbacks. Instead, they decided, let's just see where it takes us. And now they're the best team in the NFL. They didn't hit the reset button. The only team that I can think of recently that has, quote unquote, hit the reset button is Atlanta. And I love Arthur. I do. I think Arthur Smith is a great coach. And I would kill to have Arthur Smith back here as the offensive coordinator. But if Arthur Smith doesn't win next year, and I don't know how he's going to, because Desmond Ridder is not a starting quarterback, Mariota's clearly not the guy there, and they're going to be picking fifth, which means no Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. If Arthur Smith doesn't win next year in Atlanta, he's probably out. But they hit the reset button. I'm sorry. You can't, this common sense. You think Derrick Henry's a bad player? No. Ryan Tannehill is a playoff quarterback. All these other quarterbacks that you see that aren't named Joe Burrow, all these other quarterbacks, they're all limited one way or another. And they're all going to the playoffs. Ryan Tannehill's been that guy too. So you want to get rid of Ryan Tannehill. You want to get rid of Derrick Henry. You want to get rid of Jeffrey Simmons. You want to get rid of Kevin Byard. You want to get rid of all these players so that it's Burks, Okonkwo, and nobody, and you're tanking, and you might get the number one pick. Or you might end up with the number five pick like the Dolphins a couple of years ago when they hit the reset button and they were trying to get the number one pick, which would have been Joe Burrow, and instead they got the number five pick and they got Tua instead. You see what I'm saying? Like, teams don't try to hit the reset button. And when they do, the guys that end up hitting it are the ones who get fired. And that is common sense. And I am trying to bring common sense back to this organization. We begged them don't take Caleb Farley. We begged them not to trade for Julio Jones. Now, you all in the text line, you all calling us, you all were, Jared, it's Julio Jones. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm like, guys, Julio is older than me. And I'm old. Julio was old, and he was injured, and he's not Julio anymore. And when you pay a top draft pick and you pay the money, he better be a top-flight guy. Nobody in the league thought he was that anymore except for the Titans. That was a lack of common sense. All the things that have led them to where they are now. Malik Willis is the backup quarterback for this team. It was obvious in training camp that Malik Willis had no business being a backup quarterback in the NFL. It was obvious. Now, Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, they saw in training camp that Sean Mannion and Kellen Mond was a high draft pick last year, two guys that were there battling for the backup, weren't good enough, in his opinion, to back up Kirk Cousins, so he traded for Nick Mullins, and he cut both of those guys. It is not unheard of. But the Titans didn't think to do that. No common sense. Even if Logan Woodside wasn't the guy and he sucked, go get somebody else to be the backup quarterback. And they didn't do it. But again, you can't be mad about that. And I'm not even talking about the A.J. Brown trade. I know a lot of you want to sit there and say, how stupid could you be to trade away A.J. Brown and the season that A.J. Brown is having? I'm not even throwing that one under the bus because there's at least logic with the AJ trade. There was at least a discussion on both sides to say, okay, Here's why you make the A.J. Brown trade. A.J. has taken his contract discussions public, which is something that our culture, the Patriot way, we don't believe in. A.J. Brown has bad knees. That could be a factor once he gets paid. A.J. Brown wants an exorbitant amount of money. If we draft Treylon Burks, we might get the younger version of A.J., and we're not going to have to pay any of that money. And Treylon Burks doesn't have an injury history, and A.J. Brown does. Now, it hasn't worked out so far like that, but that, in my opinion, was the thinking at the time. That is a fair discussion to have. That is a risk. You take the risk. I understand. I get it. Taking a guy who just had his second back surgery and hasn't played football in 2 years is not a risk. It is stupid. And that is why nobody does that. And that's what the Titans need to bring back. Common sense. And so for all you people out there, what it was before the last couple of weeks was, we need to see what Willis can be. We need to give him an opportunity to see what we have in Malik. And now that's not that anymore. Now you guys have seen what you have in Malik. You moved on. I get it. But what the Titans need is common sense. And common sense is not rebuild. The NFL doesn't rebuild. The NFL is, you try to draft the best player available. You try to sign guys that fit what you're about, that fit your scheme, that fit what you're trying to do. You try to get better. And you all still love Mike Vrabel, even with the losing. You guys still love Mike Vrabel. Guess who's not sticking around for a rebuild, or who's not going to make it through a rebuild? The coach. And guess who's not going to vote for a rebuild? The coach. Because if they end up losing this year, and they don't make the playoffs, and then they tear it down, and they're terrible next year, guess who's going to get fired? The coach. So the Titans need to focus more on common sense and what other teams would do, and not try to think outside the box like they've been doing the last couple of years, because they're smarter than everybody, and Malik Willis is going to be the backup quarterback. Congratulations. You have the 64th best quarterback in the NFL, and he just got you beat on Saturday. And he said he was just as cool with it if they had won. And that's what you have now. Common sense, people. That's what this organization needs to get back to. 615-737-1025. I see your phones. 615-737-1025. I'll tell you right now that if I bought the team tomorrow, the number one thing that I'm doing, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, and then we're right to your phones. 1025, 1063, The Game.
You see more improvement from Malik today than the last time out?
I think they're probably, maybe took some step back since, took a few step back in some areas. But then I think he settled down and looked okay. And then, just again, some of the situational work, showed up there, late. But being able to extend some plays and, make a few plays, we just, again, have to be better with the football.
I think that's Vrabelese for Malik sucks. I think. Now, let me say this, because, again, a lot of you want to blow the team up. You guys think this team stinks, and they're not going to make the playoffs, and, it's time to start over and everything else. If I took ownership of the Titans tomorrow, the first thing I would say is we're running it back with Henry and Tannehill. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I am running it back with Henry and Tannehill. I keep thinking about Floyd in my head. About 4 or 5 years ago, there was a rumor during the offseason that Washington, who had Kirk Cousins at the time, was going to trade Cousins to San Francisco because Kyle Shanahan loved Kirk Cousins. And so San Francisco was going to add Kirk Cousins, and Washington was going to trade him. And I remember saying to Floyd, what do you think of this rumor that Washington is going to trade Cousins to San Francisco? And it must have been March or April of that year. And he goes, well, who's Washington's quarterback going to be? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll draft somebody or they'll do something. He laughs and is like, ha, ha, ha. And like, didn't even think twice about it, which was basically his way of saying, you can't not have a quarterback in the NFL. Tannehill's quarterback. And I think that there's a chance that like the Vikings did when they changed up some personnel and some coaching after a couple of down seasons, Kirk Cousins doesn't look all too bad. And I think we've seen Tannehill in 3 of his 4 seasons play at an above average level. So why would you go do what Arthur Smith and the Falcons are doing when they don't have anybody to play quarterback? Why would you run Malik Willis out there who's terrible if you didn't need to? And again, with Henry and Tannehill before the injuries, you had a 95% chance to win your division for a third year in a row. Why am I blowing that up? Why do I not try to just get better? The salary cap is fake. The Eagles and the Saints always have problems with it. The Colts always have a bunch of money, so it doesn't matter because that is not a representation of wins and losses. I'm ready to run it back with Henry and Tannehill. Now, I want a new offensive coach, but other than that, I mean, and they need better receivers, and they need to do some things with the line, and it's not going to be easy. But as far as this blow it up and be terrible, pass. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tommy in Nashville has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. What you got, Tommy?
Yes. Over week 16 so far, it looked like Malik Willis and Denver's quarterback, which would be I knew I was going to forget his name.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson. All right. They played about the same caliber. It looked to me like Russell Wilson was throwing the games. His picks went directly to a linebacker, as Malik Willis's did. And deep down the field, he was throwing to defenders. Like, I'm wondering if you have an opinion on him throwing games, and that's why I called. So I appreciate it.
Russell or Malik? I mean, I have no opinion. Thank you for your call. I have no opinion on Russell Wilson throwing games. I don't think he's doing it. Malik? I don't think Malik's throwing games. I think Malik sucks. I am done with Malik. You all can stand out there, and this is the problem. I got excited about this when they drafted him, and I kept saying he's a third-round pick with first-round hype, which was more of like a radio program thing for me, which was, oh, good, the preseason games are now going to be interesting because we're going to see whether or not this guy's any good. Or, oh, training camp's going to be fun because instead of Henry didn't practice today and Woods didn't practice today and Tannehill threw the ball and completed five passes, but he didn't do anything, we'd at least have something to be excited about. You know, right? Like there was all the drama and could Malik be any good and all that. That's all radio show hype. That was my excitement when I said first round hype with a third round pick. If you whiff on a third round pick, it happens. A lot of quarterbacks are taken in the third round. A lot of them are Davis Webb or Mason Rudolph or these other quarterbacks in the third round that stink.
I think Davis Mills was actually also the third round.
I thought he was a second round pick, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I thought he was third, but
maybe he sucks anyways too, though he didn't come in here and beat you. But like that's, you know, so you bust on your second pick in the third round. Fine. Like, that is going to happen. You're not going to nail every third round pick is going to be Kevin Byard. What's unfortunate is that the pre-draft hype for Malik made you all think that he's something that he's not. The guy freaking stinks. He can't throw. He threw it 23 times last week for a total of 99 yards.
I was having like flashbacks of Mariota, of dropbacks, and just him like clutching and just like not throwing the ball. Like,
how dare you do that to Mariota?
I'm sorry, but it was just like he would
Mariota is a thousand times better than Willis.
He would just drop back. I'm like, throw the ball. And it was just no throwing.
If you started a season with Malik Willis as your quarterback, you might not win a game. He is that bad. Derrick Henry had the same amount of rushing attempts as Malik did passing attempts and had more yards. More yards running the ball than throwing the ball. Do you all realize how crazy that is? Like that, how bad that is? Did you see that two-minute drive where he's checking the ball down with no timeouts and 90 yards to go with 40 seconds and Hassan Haskins is gaining 8 yards and now they got to run up the line of scrimmage, or a Hail Mary where he throws the ball in the end zone and there's nobody there?
Running around, just killing time only to throw it behind the line of scrimmage to complete
or something. He freaking sucks. So it's not that he's throwing games, he just stinks. Cedric's up next. Thank you for calling. What you got, Cedric? Go ahead.
Man, the first thing you should do if you own the Titans is name it Reliant North. Dude, we have lost two straight games at home to a team that is 6-25 or something like that, man. This is. I got to bring back that Coach Meathead moniker because he will not get rid of Todd Downing. Is it a coincidence that David Carr and Ryan Tannehill both regressed under that clown? It's no clue, man. It is no clue. So let's get rid of Coach Meathead. Bring back Coach Vrabel. Let's get us a good coordinator, and then, man, let's go get us some weapons, some speed, man. I mean, Jerry, we talk about this all the time during the draft. Give me one guy that the defense has to scheme for on the outside to open it up for the King. All right, man, I'll holler.
Yeah, and I don't want to do all these offseason topics because I don't think this season is over. Like, I know a lot of people do because the team's lost all these games in a row. I still think the Titans can beat Jacksonville in Week 18. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't want to do a bunch of offseason topics yet because I'm not at the offseason. And there's going to be a lot of things that have to get fixed as far as the roster is concerned with offensive linemen. But it's not impossible to do either. And, I mean, I still think the core pieces to be successful are there. And then I think we have to remember that as soon as you get a better coordinator in here, and I don't know, like Nathaniel Hackett just got fired in Denver. I have no idea if Nathaniel Hackett is a good coordinator. I know that when he was running the Jags, Blake Bortles threw for 293 yards in an AFC championship game. And I know Blake Bortles stinks. And so I always liked Hackett as a play caller with the Jags. And I thought he had one arm tied behind his back. Hackett goes to the Packers. He doesn't call any of the plays. That's all Matt LaFleur, so I don't know what he does. He goes to the Broncos. I mean, I think Vince Lombardi could have coached that team. And with Russell Wilson as broken down and fake as he is, I'm not sure there's anything he could have done. Could Nathaniel Hackett be an answer here because he runs a similar system? I don't know. But that is the job for Vrabel, is Vrabel's arrogance of, you know, this guy, I know him, I know he'll do a good job. That has certainly played a role here with Todd Downing. There is no doubt about that. And Vrabel's not going to fire Todd Downing, and I understand why he's not going to fire Todd Downing, because it's too late in the season to really fire Todd Downing. But when I go back to common sense and I talk about what this organization is lacking, Mike Vrabel bringing Todd Downing back lacked common sense. And I remember when it came to Tim Kelly, how they brought him in here and everybody said, you know, this is going to be like Jim Schwartz. And I thought to myself, whoa now. First off, when they brought Jim Schwartz back in here to be the senior defensive advisor, in which they haven't told us anything that Jim Schwartz does, we have no idea what his hours are like or what his role is. But when they brought Jim Schwartz back in here, they also went out and added two defensive linemen at about a combined $25 million that helped the pass rush get a lot better. But Jim Schwartz was also a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz had coordinated great defenses. Tim Kelly called plays for a season and a half of the Texans. That's it. And you're telling me that that equals Jim Schwartz. And I told you, guys, it's not apples to apples, because on defense, we can go over a scheme all week. You notice how the defense doesn't really huddle up like the offense huddles up, where everybody gets around and the quarterback says the play. The defense huddles up for about 5 seconds and breaks out and stands there and waits for the offense to come out of their huddle. It's not the same. And so whoever is calling the plays, whoever is dialing in 29 bubblegum to Tannehill in the heat of the moment, that's what matters. And you all say, oh, no, Tim Kelly, he's coming here. He'll make a difference. He'll do it. Guys, common sense. The organization lost it a long time ago. But you all don't need to, you all need to understand. Those things don't add up. You take a guy to make him your offensive coordinator. The quarterback, who played at a Pro Bowl level for the previous 2 years, goes in the exact opposite direction of what he's capable of. Almost every offensive player across the board, except for the running back, regresses. And your offense goes from second to 17th in the league. Now, I'm not sure that's a coincidence when you realize that this guy coordinated the Raiders offense a couple years ago, and they went from the top 10 to 17th in the league too. And their quarterback was playing at an MVP level before Todd Downing started working with him. And he had Marshawn Lynch. And he had Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. So common sense would tell you that Todd Downing stinks. But Mike Vrabel, he knows better than everybody. So he didn't make the move there. And it's hurt the team. And the negativity surrounding Todd Downing is so high that even though I thought Downing called a terrible game on Saturday, I don't think that was the number one reason why they lost. But it's now so high, I don't think Vrabel has a choice. And that is something that I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to respond well to, which is where Vrabel is put in a situation where everybody's telling him one thing, because I think he thinks he's so smart that he knows better than everybody else. I think he's a natural contrarian in that regard. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Malik Willis doesn't want us to look at the stats. You want to know why? Because the stats aren't very good. In fact, I saw something today that made me even more concerned than I already am. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
How comfortable were you once you got out there after having a week to kind of get ready for this after?
I mean, I was fine, regardless of what you see on the stat line. I mean, stat line. If you're looking at the stat line, I mean, you can go worry about your fantasy team, not real life. So, other than that, I felt comfortable out there. I mean, we got some plays going early. Penalties deferred us. I mean, they just knocked us off our what we was doing. They knocked us off our rhythm in the second half. Just turnovers. I mean, that's the way the game goes. Whoever doesn't turn the ball over, whoever gets the most completions, whoever gets the most first downs, they win the game. So.
You just said don't look at the stat line, then you recited a bunch of stats, so they were important, yeah?
I mean, you think so? I didn't recite stats. I mean, those aren't stats. Those are plays in the game. There's third and seven, you know. Are we going to put our defense back on the field after they just got off and have them tired trying to stop their offense who's been chilling? Or are we going to convert and just make it easier for our defense? These are moments. It's more than just a stat.
I don't even know where to begin.
Hard to unpack that one, isn't it?
With that cut. I mean, Buck doesn't ask a question at all about the stats. Asks Malik Willis about was he comfortable. Malik starts talking about how the stat sheet doesn't matter, and that, you know, if you want to go worry about your fantasy team, worry about it on your own time. Ian, you bring up a very important point about fantasy football and Malik Willis that,
yes,
I think people are overlooking.
Well, you know, I do play a lot of fantasy, and I play a lot of daily fantasy, DFS, and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about stats and fantasy teams, and nobody's playing Malik in any type of fantasy league whatsoever. So he does not need to worry about people tweeting at him about his fantasy stats because no one's playing him. Just drop it.
I mean, a quarterback who completes six passes in a game is not getting picked up in fantasy football.
Not even as a cheap play in DFS. You know, Minshew. You play Minshew and you don't worry about Malik.
I don't even play fantasy football. And I'm like, nobody's picking. Malik Willis doesn't want to go over the stat sheet for one obvious reason. Because the stats are terrible. Malik was 14 of 23 for 99 yards. His quarterback rating for the game was 34.5. By comparison, Davis Mills, who sucks, 76.2. Davis Mills threw for 178 yards. Malik threw for 99. Derrick Henry, on the same amount of carries as Malik had passes, had 126 yards. He had 27 more yards running the ball on the same amount of attempts that Malik Willis had throwing the ball. Now let's translate this to another sport like baseball. That would be like saying that it is as easy for you to relay the ball in by having the guy run the ball back from the outfield, put it in the shortstop's glove, having the shortstop run all the way to the catcher, having him drop his ball in the glove and tagging the runner out, as opposed to being able to throw it all the way down for a relay. That's how bad Malik Willis was. Guys, get over the fantasy that the ESPN draft gurus tried to cook up during the draft season that this guy had any kind of potential at all to be a franchise quarterback. Zero. There is a reason why the Seattle Seahawks, who had Geno Smith at quarterback, and they probably thought Geno Smith had a chance, but they didn't think Geno Smith was going to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. There's a reason why they passed on Malik three times. There's a reason why every team in the league passed on Malik. There's a reason why the Steelers passed on Malik and they drafted a quarterback. There's a reason why Carolina passed on Malik. There's a reason why Washington, who had Carson Wentz, passed on Malik. There's a reason why all these teams passed on Malik. Because he sucks. That's why they passed on him. He stinks. And he's not even getting better. And here are some stats. Again, Malik doesn't like the stat sheet. I know. But you'd be surprised to know that Dan Marino and Peyton Manning actually have some pretty good stats. Here's what Malik, this is something I looked up today. Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts was taken in the second round and not in the third round. So the league clearly valued Jalen Hurts at the time of the draft a lot more than they valued Malik, which makes sense because Jalen Hurts is only roughly 5,000 times better. But Jalen Hurts as a starter that first year when he was the backup to Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson benched him, Jalen Hurts on a bad team was 1-3 as a starter. Now, I think he was really only 1-2 because they took Jalen Hurts out at halftime of the last game of the year. They were tanking to get a better draft pick, and they ended up putting Nate Sudfeld in, and it was on Sunday Night Football, and everybody got mad. But stats are what they are. Jalen Hurts was 1-3 as a starting quarterback, 52%. Malik right now is 1-2 and 51%. But how about the difference in passing yards? Malik, 276 yards. He has started three games, and he has 276 yards passing. That is not even 100 yards a game. Jalen Hurts, 1,061 yards. Literally five times the amount of yardage as Malik Willis. Hurts, six touchdowns, four interceptions. Willis, no touchdowns, three interceptions. Quarterback rating, 77.64 Hurts. In a year in which, afterwards, Philadelphia tried to keep Carson Wentz. They hired a coach specifically to try to get Carson Wentz to stay. They didn't want to make Hurts the starter. And Hurts had a rating of 77.6. Willis's quarterback rating is 42.8. And just to contextualize how bad 42.8 is for a quarterback as far as a rating is concerned, I know. You all complain about the offensive line, and you all complain about the receivers and the offensive coordinator, and those are all fine. I'm with you on that. I get it. I think a lot of those things are bad, too. Ryan Tannehill's quarterback rating is 94.6. Malik Willis's quarterback rating is more than 50 points worse than Ryan Tannehill's. Malik is not even replacement level. Trace McSorley is a third-string quarterback. He just threw for 170 yards on Sunday Night Football. Malik could not, it would take three games to get Malik to 180 yards. He's horrible by every single stat out there. And to Ian's point, nobody is worrying about their fantasy team. They are worried about their real team, the Titans, because he's the quarterback. And so 42.8 quarterback rating. Russell Wilson being terrible, like all-time terrible, just got Nathaniel Hackett fired. Not that Nathaniel Hackett, I felt like, was ever really a great coach. And the number one reason why they hired Nathaniel Hackett was to lure Aaron Rodgers. And obviously he failed at that. But Russell Wilson's quarterback rating for what has been an all-time terrible season. And remember, Malik is at 42. Russell Wilson is at 82. Russell Wilson, an all-time bad quarterback season, is 40 points ahead of Malik Willis in quarterback rating. Ryan Tannehill is more than 50 points ahead of Malik Willis with the same offensive line, the same bad receivers, and the same terrible coordinator. Malik Willis is horrible. And that's why, even though Buck didn't ask him about the stat sheet, he brought up the stats and then argued with Paul Kaharsky that it wasn't the stat sheet, which I still have a hard time getting over. I don't know how you could talk about how they had more completions and less turnovers and say you weren't talking about stats. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad this guy is. And I felt like, you know, I tried to explain this to everybody. I really did. I'm almost about to get in my feels here. I tried to explain it to everybody. I went to training camp with an open mind. I'm all for quarterback controversy. I think everybody knows that, especially after the offseason that Ryan Tannehill had and the postseason that Ryan Tannehill had. I would 100% have been for Willis going out there and balling out and there being like a Dak Prescott, Tony Romo kind of thing going on with Willis and Tannehill. But I went out to training camp and I'm like, this guy freaking sucks. And people got mad at me because they're like, he's a rookie. It's not fair. You know, you're being too hard on him. And nobody else would say how bad he was. But I kept telling you all how bad. I'm like, he's terrible, guys. He's horrible. And so then he plays in the preseason games and he's just as bad. And you all are like, oh, well, he's got a bad line in front of him. And he's not playing with the first string, so it won't matter. And then the team confirms your beliefs because they made him the backup quarterback, even though he had no business being a backup quarterback. And so I feel like I have to be the Simon Cowell of Malik Willis's American Idol audition. And I have to tell you all that he's terrible and he doesn't belong on American Idol. Because nobody over there seems to get it. They seem to think Malik doesn't stink. They seem to think that they don't need a real backup quarterback. And I mean bare bones backup. I'm not asking for a Baker Mayfield. Or like Ryan Tannehill a couple of years ago. I'm asking for a nobody. I'm asking for Sean Mannion. I'm asking for Josh Dobbs. I'm asking for a guy who's really a three, but in a pinch he can be a two. That's what I'm asking for. I mean, well, you're looking at with Malik. The reason he doesn't want to go to the stat sheet is because the stat sheet is terrible. That's why. It's a defense mechanism for, I don't want to talk about the fact that I threw for 99 yards. Even the interceptions, I love this. You know, nobody ever gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And at the induction, they say, he hit 500 home runs, but 400 of them were solo shots in games that were already decided, and he just hit them anyways. No, they just count your home runs. Malik, after the game, was asked about the turnovers for the team. He wasn't even asked about the Malik turnovers, but he was asked about the turnovers for the team. And Malik got defensive about his terrible Hail Mary interception.
Malik, considering how much emphasis this team puts on turnovers and protecting the football and winning that battle, how much more frustrating does it make the last couple of weeks, at least in the division games, that you're minus five in that set?
I mean, it sucks, but what can you do? That's the past. You got to worry about keep going, keep playing. What, you can count to one at the end of the game on the Hail Mary. I mean, what you want to do? Just happens like that. So you can count the one on the double slants, but I mean, more than that, Malik, just keep going.
What do I want you to do? I want you to throw it into the vicinity of people on your team. That's what I want you to do. Malik Willis is so bad. I cannot get over this. Malik Willis on a free play last week got called for intentional grounding. If this were American Idol, Malik Willis would be one of those guys that is such a bad singer and doesn't know it that they yell him out of the building and everybody laughs about it. Who was the guy who did the Ricky Martin song on American Idol? William Hung.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about with the kind of quarterback. I have not seen worse quarterback play for the Titans since they had to take Rusty Smith, who was the third and was a sixth-round pick. They had to run him out there in a game because Vince Young threw his pads in the stands.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, Charlie Whitehurst is way freaking better than Malik. I mean, again, you're talking about a 42 quarterback rating. Let's see what Charlie Whitehurst's quarterback rating was. I mean, Charlie Whitehurst was no good, but I mean, Charlie Whitehurst was like a backup in the NFL. 42 quarterback rating. And people are trying to tell me that they want to see this guy play more and see if he's the future. Charlie Whitehurst's quarterback rating was 74.9. So that's how bad Malik Willis is. That Russell Wilson's quarterback rating this season is 40 points higher. Tannehill's is 50. Unbelievable. Terrible. 615-737-1025. More your phones, and we'll wrap this wonderful show up. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Mike, now that you know that the finale at Jacksonville is for the division, does that change at all how you look at the next few days?
Well, I mean, I think it probably will. I mean, we got some guys that have played a lot of football for us that are far less than 100%. And it's those guys that I appreciate that no matter what, find a way to be here, you know, for this team. So we'll try to figure out who we have and who's available and then make some decisions.
There you go, Mike Vrabel, Thursday night against the Cowboys. It is what I call preseason plus. It is basically a preseason game. And so Mike Vrabel said today that the health of the football team and how many guys they can have back on a short week will be decided about who they play, yada, yada, yada. Basically, guys like Jeffrey Simmons and probably DeNico Autry and those guys aren't going to play. And a lot of people wonder what that means about Derrick Henry. Now, I think Derrick Henry is going to play on Thursday night for one reason. And it is because, well, actually, I'm going to throw in two reasons. The first reason I think Derrick Henry is going to play on Thursday night is because he's about 110 yards behind Josh Jacobs for the rushing title. Now, that may not matter to you, but it matters to them. And I think because it matters so much to the player, it probably also matters to Vrabel, too. Remember, Mike Vrabel did play in the NFL. If Derrick Henry wins a third rushing title in 4 years, I think he is 100% a lock for Canton. Maybe not 100, maybe more like 95, but I think he's a lock for Canton. And that matters to players, and it absolutely matters to Mike Vrabel because he knows how much it matters to Henry. So I could see a scenario where a lot of guys don't play on defense, but they pound the rock with Derrick Henry consistently against the Cowboys in order for Derrick to get within striking distance to be able to win the rushing title against Jacksonville. Number two, I think another reason why I would expect Derrick Henry to play is because Derrick Henry has a fumbling issue, and Derrick Henry, the only way I think that you work that out is by playing football. So I would expect Derrick Henry to be out there and making sure he doesn't fumble the ball in order to get over whatever this fumbling problem is that he would find a way out of it. Guys like Simmons and Fulton and Hooker and Autry and Bud Dupree and all those guys, sit them. No need to play. The Cowboys are going to come in here, beat the crap out of the Titans. We're okay with it. And as I said earlier today on the program, I believe that Josh Dobbs should be the starting quarterback for the Week 18 game on the road at Jacksonville. I think Dobbs is better than Willis. I think Dobbs understands the game and has more experience than Willis. I think Dobbs has a better leadership attitude than Willis. And quite frankly, I just think he's a better player. But I wouldn't put him out there against the Cowboys for two reasons. One, I don't want to give Jacksonville any kind of hint that I am thinking about playing Josh Dobbs in that Week 18 game. And two, because I don't want to put anything on tape or risk Josh Dobbs getting hurt by playing against the Dallas Cowboys. So that if I ran the team, that would be what I would be thinking about this week going forward, is that I would not put in much of a game plan against the Cowboys. We would run Derrick Henry, and that's what we would do, and we'd play with backups on defense, and we'd probably get beat, and then turn around and put everything in to the extra time off before the Week 18 game against the Jags, and Josh Dobbs is the starting quarterback. Do I think I'm going to win with Josh Dobbs as a starting quarterback? I don't know. But I think it gives me a better chance than Malik Willis because I think Malik Willis is terrible. Texter into the text line asks, since Thursday night's game does not matter, could they put Josh Dobbs in Thursday night and see what he's got? I want Josh Dobbs, truthfully, I want Josh Dobbs in the Week 18 game. I don't care about Thursday night. Thursday night, let Malik go out there, prove for the fourth time as a starter that he can't play in the NFL, and go from there. That's going to be the first thing that I want out of that. Texter, the text line, says that Paul Kaharski says, and I don't know if Paul said this or not, Texter says Paul Kaharski says there is a 55% chance that Todd Downing was back next year and now he's gone. I think it's way worse than that. That's going to do it for us. Hopefully the Titans find some common sense this week. We shall see. Great show today. Glad for everybody on the holiday, and everybody stay safe driving, stay warm, as it'll start to get warmer later in the week. That's it for us, Stillman and Company. Happy holidays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.